Good evening. My name is Brian Ellis, and I also work with Real Life, the college ministry of the church here. And I'm going to read tonight's scripture, and that's from Romans chapter 13, verse 8, which in this Bible is on page 1123, so maybe it's in yours too. That's Romans 13, verse 8. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law.
This is not my first visit to Boston. My first visit was 1973. Many of you have not been born at that time. Today we are going to talk about the topic, the debt of love. When Abram was 99 years old, God told him, be a perfect man before me, because I am an almighty God. What is the connection between an almighty God and to become a perfect man? I will enable you to be a perfect man. God demands human beings to be perfect. Is it fair? No one has no fault. No one has no shortage. But we should have a very, very high goal as our life's aim. Because the image and the likeness of God contains the potential and the purpose of living. We are created of the image of God. It means we have the potential. Qualitatively different from all animals, we are potential. We have the potential to achieve the highest goal. And our goal is God. Our source is God. He is our creator. And His Son come to the world to be our model, and His Spirit will guide us into the final goal to be like God. Image and that likeness. Is it possible for a man, for a sinner, to strive and become perfect? If it is possible, I want to ask a question. Whoever in history had already or had ever been perfect? If it is impossible, why God demand us like that? Not only in the Old Testament. In New Testament, the same thing. Jesus Christ, you should be perfect, like your Father is perfect in heaven. Then who? Abraham? No. David? No. Isaiah? No. Job? No. Not even one person had been perfect. Then what does it mean? The perfection in Reformed theology is the perfection in quantity. The perfection in Reformed theology is perfection in your motivation, the perfection in your goal, the perfection in your strive, and the perfection in all your effort, which is doing your best with all your heart, your mind, your nature, your strength to achieve the only thing as the answer of perfect love. Who can live with a pure love to God and pure love to man? And all the commandments, the law of Moses was given in order to show the motivation of love. Christian ethics is the ethic of motivation. Christian ethics is based on the foundation of loving one another. Love. What is love? Everybody say love, love, love. But what they mean is sex, sex, sex. We talk about love without knowing what is love. Love is not to obtain something. Love is not to adore, to admire something. Love is not to get what is good from others to be your possession. Love is to sacrifice yourself to accomplish others. We only know what is love as we learn the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And that starts the true understanding and true epistemology of love. Back 3.5 centuries before Jesus Christ was crucified, Plato teach about love, and he used the word eros. Eros become erotic, become not very good word. But original eros in Platonic philosophy is something admiring, something pursuing higher things than us. You should look at, you should admire, you should love, you should thirsty about something better, better, better than what you have. That is eros. And it is from down to up, from beneath to top. We want to pursue, we want to seek after, we want to be more better and better from our low level to the high level with love. Not until Jesus has come to the world that we start reversing that order. Because the word used by John and apostles to describe the love of God is not eros, not philia, but agape. Agape is not from down to up, agape from up to down. You want to lower yourself? You want to humble yourself? And you want to deny? You want to sacrifice yourself? That starts the true meaning of love. God sent His Son from the highest. The Son of God in the highest come to the lowest point and born in a manger. Born in an animal's place. That is love. If you do not know the meaning of Bible in this kind of understanding, you never practice love. And perfection is a so related with the love of God. Those who understand love and practice it are those who fulfill the law of God. The law of God is not given to human being in order to make human being to practice or to do it, because God knows it is impossible. No one can fulfill the law of God. No one can be perfect under the demand of God. If it is not given for us to obey, then why God grant us the commandments and the law? Why God gave Moses and asked him to teach Israelites to practice the Ten Commandments? God knows it is impossible. No one can. No one could. Even the man called David, is after the heart of God, he couldn't accomplish the demand of the Ten Commandments. He committed adultery. He killed others. He cheated. So what is the reason God gave His commandment to human beings? Interpretation from Watchman Nee, one Chinese preacher. God gave His commandment to make people offend it. Purposely. I don't agree with that. Because in this statement, it blames God of wrong motivation. God is all good hearted God. God will never do something to cause people to sin. Then, what is the reason God gave His commandment? God gave His commandment according to Jewish people and tradition in the Old Testament in order to let people go and obey and to be submissive to God's commandments. I don't agree either. Because it is impossible. How come we make the conclusion that no man can and possible of accomplishing the demand of God in His commandment given? Because it's written in the Bible as being inspired and revealed by Holy Spirit through Peter the Apostle to say, until this day, Not even one man from our ancestors ever accomplished the law of Moses. It is written in chapter 15 of Acts as a result of the consultation on theology and the first consultation in the history on theology. And Peter made a conclusion like that. If it is so, then why God gave his commandments? And what is the reason God wants us to know commandments? Whoever accomplished commandments? No one. So the reason God gave his commandments is to let us know that we can never achieve what God demands. And if you truly realize you are not able, you are impossible, that you should be humble and you should be transparent before God and ask his forgiveness. Because the Jewish people never understand this. And after they got the law of God, they become more arrogant and they despise other nations and consider them as dogs. Only Jewish people is men. So they are more in superior and superior, more arrogant and more arrogant. Finally, when New Testament came, God abandoned the culture of Jewish people. And even start his new revelation, not using Hebrew language, but Greek language. The Old Testament was composed of two ministries. The first ministry to show that you are shortage of the glory of God. You are far away from the target of God. And from away from target of God in Greek is called hamartia, sin. Hamartia means you miss the target. That is truly the meaning of the commandment given. The commandment of God is given to show that you are sinners. You must not be arrogant. You must not be proud. You must not boast your culture because simply I have the commandment, so we are more superior than other nations. But if the people of God fail to achieve this goal, then God sent the second ministry in Old Testament, the prophet, to remind them, you have already had law, but you are living against the commandment of God. So you should repent. The law was given to make people humble and confess their sin. You see? The prophet was given to rebuke them and to remind them of repentance, and they killed the prophets. That is what is all about the Old Testament. Then Jesus Christ came to the world. Jesus Christ came to the world, and he is the only one to accomplish the commandments of God. The only one to accomplish the demand in the law. It is written in chapter 5, verse 13 in the Gospel of Matthew. I come not to demolish the law of Moses, but I come to accomplish it. Jesus accomplished the demand of the law to replace you and me, which we are impossible to do. And that is the love of God from another sense. Now, in chapter 13 of Romans, Paul says, if you have love, then you accomplish the law. It means, if you truly practice the love which has been shown through Jesus Christ, with his love and his mode of sacrificing himself, that you can be a perfect man. You can fulfill the law. Who can fulfill the law? Who can accomplish the perfect man, the measurement? No one. But if you always think you owe others love, you owe others, the lower class people in spirituality, they always think people owe them. But the ordinary people, they think we owe one another. And the higher level people always think, I owe you. I owe you love. I owe you care. I owe you true concern. I owe you prayer. Always when we see somebody fail in their morality, in their life, we teach them. We laugh at them. We rumor about them. That is very, very bad. But when you see others, especially a Christian, fail in their morality, in their sex, and you think it is something so regretful, because the name of God will be blamed by the pagans, then you are better Christian. But a true good Christian will think that he fails because I didn't pray enough for him, and you are good Christian. That is the meaning of owing love to others. Are you guilty? Do you feel guilty feeling when you see others? They fail, they fall, they are tempted, and they are conquered by the sin. If you have this kind of feeling of being a debtor, I am lacking love to them, that you are good Christian. What makes the world know that we are Christian? By hanging a very big cross here, and then you say, I am a Christian. No. I, with my own eyes, see a pickpocket wearing a big cross here. And he was captured by a police in Sao Paulo in Brazil and put into a box. And because many pickpockets have been there inside, no space anymore. So they kicked him and then shut the door forcefully. And the cross is still hanging like that. That kind of cross is not a symbol of a Christian. The true signs of being a Christian, the true seal that people know we are Christian community, have been written only three things. The first, in the Bible says, if you bear more fruit, if you have a fruitful Christian life, then your Father in heaven will be glorified. And people will know that you are my disciples. This is the first sign. Second sign, Jesus said, I give you one new commandment. That is, you have to love one another. By doing this, people, you know that you are my follower. That is second Christian sign. Not Christian science. The Christian science started from here, so no Christian, no science. The Christian sign, the mark, the seal, the symbol, to let people know we are Christian. If you love one another, that is second. Third, if you courageous to preach gospel, you truly, sincerely care about others' eternal life, and you preach gospel to them in evangelization. By courageous to preach the gospel, chapter 4 of the Acts, the people know they are followers of Jesus Christ. So these three things, only three things, make us know that we are Christians. Bear fruit, love one another, and courageous in preach the gospel. Would you repeat? First, bear fruit. Second, love one another. Third, courageous to evangelize others. Are you doing that? Are you only repeating what I say? If you want to love one another, love, 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 and people will know you are my disciples. What is love? People in airplane, he said, what is this food? Not good. He said, I like that. I love that. And I said, if you love that, that never love you. I love that. That will never love you. But every time you love that, that have to die for you. I love crap. I will kill crap. So some kind of love is sacrificing others. sometimes of love is possessing others. And that is very difficult to endure, very difficult to accept. So the true love is the love of God in Jesus Christ. Sacrifice yourself to accomplish others. Now I see you are loving one another. Is she your friend? Yeah. Yeah. Married already. Good. You want to sacrifice her? You want to sacrifice yourself for her? Huh? A man say, I love you so much to a girl. And that girl, truly? You truly love me? Yes! If you love me, do you want to die for me? No. Why? Because my love is undying love. I do not want to die for you. Love one another. That is called new commandment. How come? How come the new commandment? Was that not in the Old Testament? No. You love your neighbor. You love your neighbor. You love your neighbor. It's one-sided. But love one another, two-sided. That is new. That's the difference. And what is the standard of loving one another? Jesus said, as if what I love you, you should love one another. The standard is the love of Jesus Christ. The standard is the source of our standard, Christ. Then by examining our life, by taking his example, we try to imitate what has been done by Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. If we use our love to God to love another, is it good? You all love God, right? Easier to love God than to love those bandits. Easier to love God than to love those rascals. Love God is easy. Love man is not easy. Because God is so good. But man, terrible. To love God is easier than to love man. So if everybody use his love to God to love his fellows, is it good? I'm asking you. You should answer me, right? If I use my love to God as the love to love my brothers, is it good? No. So you are cheated by me. Because our love to God is changeable, mutable, always change. If God is good to me, oh God, I love you. If God do not want to answer your question, I hate you. If you use your love to God as a standard to love brothers, the church will be confused. So Jesus never said, how you love me, you love one another. That is dangerous. The order and the relationship in Bible is so important. You should not only know the literal meaning, you should know the order. You should know the classification of everything thought and everything revealed in the Bible. How I love you, you should love one another. Jesus didn't say, how you love me, you should love one another. Only by imitating, following Jesus Christ and his example, the church will be healthy. And I set the example. I will die for you on the cross. When John, the only disciple, returned to the Golgotha, any other disciples are gone already. He went back. He sat down there and looked at Jesus Christ without even one word. And he realized, this is love. Plato didn't teach this kind of love. Plato's love is a down to up. And this is the first time in human mind a young man realized another way of love is up to down. From highest to the lowest. From heaven to earth. From God to man. The flesh became man. How can this be? How can this become a fact now shown before my two eyes? He sacrificed for me. He didn't commit sin. He has no fault. He has nothing wrong. He said nothing wrong. He did nothing wrong. He performed miracles. He loved. He healed. He preached. Then he write down one sentence, which is that important as St. John 3:16. I believe all you can memorize John 3:16. And I'm so regret, so many Christians only memorize that verse, nothing else. If I ask you John 3:15, for God so loved the world, you know. What about the 1 John 3:15, 16? 1 John 3:16, who knows? Raise up your hand. Huh? What's that? 1 John, not John. Oh. I've got only one. Actually, not even one. John 3:16, God so loved the world. 1 John 3:16, because Christ gave His life for us, then we know how is love. And we should give our lives for our brothers. This kind of thinking is a breakthrough of understanding of love more than any kind of philosophy else in history. The true love understanding, the true philosophy of the genuine love started from the understanding of this young man seated down and look at Jesus Christ with tears and not even one word, and he realized what is love. Brothers and sisters, if we truly love one another, then we show ourselves we are true Christians. Praise God. Park Spirit Church is one of the most important and most remarkable and most famous church in all over the United States. I heard the church far, far away. But let us fulfill the love, fulfill the commandment of God, and to achieve the possibility of being a perfect man before God. If you feel you owe love to others, that you are obligated to do more in taking concern, praying, making intercession for others, caring, sacrificing yourself, and encouraging others by teaching, by exhortation, by doing something good for others. Because in the commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covetous, thou shalt not adultery. All commandments contain in one word, love your neighbor. That is the reason. If we want to fulfill the demand of God, we want to accomplish a requirement from the commandments, nothing we can do. But we must not ignore. We should love others. Just like what Jesus showed His love to us. By doing this, you become a perfect man. By doing this, you're closer to God. May God bless us and give us the power, understanding, inspiration, and the willingness to sacrifice ours and to share our life, joy, and all the graces we obtain from God to be blessed for others until Jesus Christ returns. May God bless you. Amen.